here have an intellect? Some of you don't look like you're sure. And when we think about the intellect, it is our thinking process. Last week we looked at the will of man, the will of a person. And this morning, as we look at the three parts that make up a person, this one is our thinking, our intellect. There was a man, he was working in a produce department, and he was asked by a lady if she could buy half a head of lettuce. And he replied, "Half a head? Are you serious? God grows these in whole heads, and that's how we sell them." "You mean," she persisted, "that after 30 years I've shopped here, you won't sell me half a head of lettuce?" Look, he said, "if you'd like, I'll go and ask the manager." So she indicated that would be appreciated. So the young man marched to the front of the store. But you wouldn't believe this, but there's a lame-brained idiot of a lady back there who wants to know if she can buy half a head of lettuce. He noticed the manager gesturing, and then he turned around to see the lady standing right behind him. Obviously, having followed him to the front of the store, he said, "And this nice lady here was wondering if she could buy the other half." Later in the day, the manager, cornered the young man and said, "That was the finest example of thinking on your feet that I've ever seen. Where did you learn that?" He said, "Well, I grew up in Niagara Falls. And if you know anything about Niagara Falls, you know that it's known for its great hockey and also his ugly women." The manager's face went flush, and he interrupted, and he said, "My wife is from Niagara Falls." And the young man said, "Well, what hockey team did you play for?" Thinking on your feet, amen. Have we ever been there, put our foot in our mouth, and we've got to think real quick? Yeah? Okay, we've been there. There was a man, he bought a new gadget. It was unassembled, and of course, after reading and regarding the instructions, he couldn't figure out how it went together. Have you ever been there? Now, come on, time for honesty, right? You bought something, it has instructions, and you can't figure out how to put it together. Come on, you've been there. You've never been there? So what do you do when that happens if you've never been there? You don't know what to do, but what do you do? All the guys know what to do. You bring it to your wife, right? And she'll figure out how to put it together. Well, this guy had no idea how to put it together. So he went to this older gentleman. He was a handyman, known for his abilities. And so he went to this older gentleman. The older fella picked up the pieces, studied them, and he began assembling the gadget. And in a short time, he put it together perfectly. Absolutely perfectly. He said, "That's amazing." And he said, you did that without even looking at the instructions. And the man said this, "The fact is, I can't read. But a fellow who can't read has got to learn to think." And when we think about the idea of our intellect, God has given us an intellect. He's given us a will. We looked at that last week. He's given us an intellect. And that is the ability to think, to know, and to understand. It's to reason, to be able to reason things out. And we learn, our intellect allows us to learn and comprehend. And man is a thinking being. Some psychologists estimate that 10,000 thoughts go through the human mind in one day. 10,000 different thoughts. That's a lot of thoughts. In one year, that's 3,500,000 thoughts that go through our mind in one year. How many people have ever lost sleep because our minds are active, right? We've all been there. We're thinking about something, and unfortunately, when we're not sleeping, it's usually because we're worrying, right? Not only thinking, but we're worrying about something that might be in our life. David, turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8. David he looked up into the heavens on a starry night, and he thought about himself. And this is an interesting thing. He looked up into the heavens, into the stars. He thought about himself and about his Creator. And he asked this question. Look in verse 3 there. He says, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained." Here's the question. When he stops and he looks, he thinks. He looks at the heavens. He looks at the stars. He looks at God's creation. And then after he processes all of creation, in verse 4, the Bible says, he asks this question, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" And then he goes on to say, "And the son of man that thou visitest him." He stops, he thinks, he considers the vast universe. And of course, David had really no concept. He had really no grand idea of just how vast our universe is compared to what we know today. We even today, with all of our technology and telescopes and the Hubble and sending probes into space and all the things that we've done, we really don't know much about the universe. We don't. But David, just from this observatory here on earth, looking up into the heavens, considering the vastness of creation, considering the vastness of all that God has given and created, he said, "What is man? What are we? Little ants, little specks on this little insignificant planet in the middle of a solar system, in the middle of a galaxy, in the middle of a massive universe with trillions and trillions and trillions of stars. What? Why in all of that is God so concerned about mankind?" And this is a great question. Why should such a great and glorious God be concerned about man? And he also says in Psalms 1, let's turn there, Psalms 144. Move ahead a little bit in Psalms 144. And he makes an interesting statement in verse 4 there. He said, "Man is like to vanity. His days are a shadow that passeth away." So David maintains the same sort of an idea here, that man, that word vanity is the idea of empty. You know, when you stop and think about eternity, and we stop and think about, again, I believe that we have existed. Man, the earth, the universe has existed for about 6,000 years. Amen? And when we think about maybe another 1,000 or maybe 100 or maybe 50 or maybe tomorrow when Jesus Christ comes back, and then we are going to be with God in an innumerable amount of time, eternity, infinity. We are going to be with God for all of eternity. David says, man, our life is just a little vanity. It's a little empty space in time. So not only is man insignificant in the vast expanse of our universe, we're just a little tiny planet in the middle of billions, trillions. But also in the eons of time, our life is just a little speck. And then he's thinking all of this. His mind is working. His mind is active. And it brings him to a greater question. Look at verse 41. "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like a vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away." And there again we see him asking that question, what is man? What are we? Just like in Psalms chapter 8, what are we? These are some good questions. And have you ever asked or seen a dog gazing up into the stars and asking, thinking why it's here, and even understanding eternity and eternal things? How about a monkey? Have you ever seen a monkey writing volumes in a book about our existence? See, animals, we looked at the will, and last week, animals only have instinct. When they act out of instinct. We have instinct, but we also have a will. And we can make decisions. And when it comes to animals as well, animals don't, they have instinct, but they don't have intellect. They don't have reasoning. They don't have the ability to stop and think and process information the same way as God has created us. And there are so many different questions that we've got to ask ourselves. Who are we? Why are we here? Where did I come from? And where am I going? Animals don't think and consider those things. In the days of Isaiah, turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1. In the days of Isaiah, the Lord actually challenged and invited the Israelites to use their intellect and reason with their minds. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. And again, thinking about animals, Winston Churchill, I'm sure other people have said it, Winston Churchill once said that anybody that goes to a psychiatrist ought to have their head examined. Who's with me on that one? What about somebody that would bring their animals to a psychiatrist? There are pet psychiatrists out there. There's lots of them. Now, when you have a dog or a cat or a goldfish or any sort of animal, can you sit down and can you reason with that animal? When you're training a dog, do you sit down and have a little talk with it? Listen, Fufu, you know, there's some things that you need to learn. You need to learn how to heal, and you need to learn, you know, how to not go in the house, and you need to learn this. You can't sit down and reason with an animal. And that's why I'm in my mind trying to picture how people would take their animal to a pet psychiatrist, and it would sit down on the couch and tell them all of their life's problems. I'm still not sure how that works. But man can stop and think and reason. Could I get somebody to read verse 18 of Isaiah chapter 1, please? Okay, now, this is a really good analogy where God uses our will and asks us, reasons with us to bend our will towards Him. And that's what he's asking us. Now, I'm going to say this later on, but our will is driven by our intellect. If we didn't have an intellect, we couldn't have a will. And if we have a will, we need an intellect. We need something, a reasoning process, a thinking process in order to act on our will. You know, we've got so many choices in life. You know, animals, you know what? When it's time to eat, they just go kill what they can. What their instinct tells them to do. When we want to eat, we got to decide, first of all, we got 18 decisions to make. What restaurant are we going to go to? Amen? Do we want to go to Pizza Hut tonight, or do we want to go to, you know, Montana's, or do we want to go to A&W, or do we want to go for sushi? And we got so many decisions, and we finally decide on one restaurant to go to, and then when we get to that one restaurant, guess what we got to decide? What we're going to eat. And then the waitress comes along, and she wants you to make more decisions about dessert. You know, and of course, we know at the end of all of the meal, how many people have room for dessert? not me, usually. No room for dessert. So we have decisions and choices to make that animals can't make. They don't decide or choose, make decisions about things. They just act by instinct. Look at verse 15 if you're still in Isaiah. Here, let's reason something out. The Bible says, though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Now, we understand why the word white is used here. Because white is, you know, it's always been the symbol of cleanness and purity. So when we're cleansed, we become white. Why do you think he uses for sin? Why do you think God uses the word scarlet or red there? Though your sins be as scarlet, red. Look at verse 15. Can I get somebody to read verse 15 in Isaiah chapter 1? Full of blood. And again, that's sin. Verse 21. And then if we looked at Isaiah chapter 59, verses 2 and 3, it's because of the blood. The Lord was saying something like this: come now, let us reason together. Let us think this through together. Do you want to be clean, or do you want to be stay dirty and stained by sin? What makes the most sense to you, to receive God's gracious forgiveness or to receive God's terrible judgment? And how sad that often people do not think. They don't think very straight or reason very well. So what do you think? Do you think? What are some things in life that we have to think about? We have to decide. What are some decisions that we have to make? Where to live? Yeah, we've got to decide where to live. How about issues in life? What are some issues that we need to make decisions on? I'll give you a couple. How about, you know, what do you think about, you people might ask, what do you think about UFOs? You know, what do you think about the theory of evolution? What do you think about reincarnation? What do you think about abortion? What are some other things that we've got to make a decision about? Boy, I got you thinking early in the morning. Well, yeah, I think about what church we want to attend. Oh, yes, the election. What do you think about the NDP? What do you think about the Green Party? Now there's six parties. One, the People's Party has kind of sprung up. And then we got the Bloc Québécois. What do you think about separation? Oh, you know, French separation. We don't hear much about that anymore. But how about the death penalty? How about inflation? What do you think about Trudeau? Don't answer that question, please. Kyle's giving a thumbs up back there. All right. What do you think about natural food? What do you think about the Toronto Maple Leafs? They just can't beat a better team. That's the problem. They can't beat the Habs. What do you think about boxing or wrestling or communism or Islam or terrorism or illegal immigration or Palestine, about what's going on over in the Middle East? What do you think about your Sunday school teacher? Man, I like my Sunday school teacher. Kyle, yeah, I'm not sure we're not feeding him. What do you think? When we think about important decisions and things that we need to think about, what do you think a person needs to do in order to be saved? And this is an important decision. I remember wrestling with that decision for a long time because I had people telling me I needed to be baptized to be saved. I had people telling me, you know, you needed to do good works. I had people telling me this. I if you go out there, if you start looking around, you're going to get confused. People are going to tell you these things. People are going to even say, well, I got verses to prove I'm right. You know? And I'm going, man, this is, you know, I want to make the right decision. I just don't want, because somebody told me their opinion, I'm just not going to fall into that decision. I want to make the right decision. I'm going to think this through. And so I did. And I think trusting Jesus Christ is the right decision. Amen? Christ and Christ alone. And what about things like the assurance of salvation? You know, do we believe in eternal security? All these questions would probably stimulate a good amount of thinking and discussion, any one of them. You could discuss any one of these issues for a long time. All these questions are good questions. Some of them are ridiculous, though, if we think about it. People down in the States, they were going to, Area 51, they were going to storm it to let the aliens go free. And listen, if you want to do something, if you want to let the aliens go free, go down and get, like, release the people out of the White House or something. I mean, they're just convinced that there's aliens being held prisoner in Area 51, and they've got to go down there and free them. So there's a lot of crazy thinking out there. But the most important thing that we can think about, the most important decision we can make, is concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 42. Matthew 22 and verse 42. And can I get somebody to read that? So here's a question. What think ye of Christ? What do you think about Christ? We went over this, I know, a few months ago when we went over certain errors pertaining to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no shortage of errors out there when it comes to many different aspects of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of error out there about who he is. If you were to go out into the community today and you were to ask people, you know what, even if you went to the average church and you were interviewing people as they were leaving their church, supposedly Christian church, you were to interview them and you were to ask them as they come out, what do you think about the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you think about Christ? You could go to a church and you probably get... In one church, all coming out of one building, you'd probably get 10 different answers about every little issue concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the biggest Canadian denominations in Canada denies the deity of Jesus Christ, denies the miracles of Jesus Christ, denies the return of Jesus Christ, denies his vicarious death, denies this, denies that. Well, he was a good teacher. That's all he was. He was just a good teacher. He did good. And his miracles were only examples of good. That's all they were. They weren't real miracles. The miracles was sharing your lunch. The miracles was helping the blind. The miracles were this or this, but they weren't actually miracles. There's a lot of different things out there. When we read verses like Matthew 16, verses 13 to 17, and John chapter 3 and verse 18 and 36, and John chapter 8 and verse 24, let's turn to John 8. John chapter 8. And here's an important reason why we need to get our thinking straight when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in verse 24, the Bible says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. If people don't think correctly about the Lord Jesus Christ, they will die in their sins. You know, there's a lot of people out there that believe in Jesus, but they're not saved. They believe in Jesus, but they do not believe Jesus. You know, they believe, oh, he existed. They believe that he did many good things. They believe that he was a good person. But if you do not believe that he died for your sins as a substitute, if you do not believe that he was God in the flesh, in fact, the Bible tells us that if we deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, we're antichrist. If our thinking is wrong, what does anti mean? What does it mean to be anti? You're against, right? So we're against. You know, if we say, you know, Jesus was, he wasn't God, that means we're against Jesus Christ. If we say that Jesus Christ, well, he didn't do miracles, he just gave us examples, then we're against Jesus Christ. If we are not thinking properly. Now, I will say this as well. You know, I know when a person gets saved, they don't know everything there is to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you're saying here this morning, you know what, Pastor, there's some things I don't know. My thinking needs to improve. Does that mean I'm not saved? No, that's not what I'm saying. But if you outright deny the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he was, I like what Jesus said. I think we looked at this verse last week. He said, if you believe in me as the scriptures have said, we can't just believe whatever we want about Jesus. Amen. We got to believe what the Bible says. And that is who Jesus is. So when we think about Jesus Christ, what are some things, I've mentioned a few, but what are some things that we need to think properly about? What are some issues out there that people may have different thinking on? Okay, if he's God, there's all kinds of them. Okay, people believe he's the brother of Lucifer. What other things are there out there? What about his birth? Was he a virgin-born child? What else? Resurrection. That's a huge one. I've mentioned this before. I got an article I cut out 20-something years ago from one of the Toronto papers at Easter time. And it was called the Jesus Seminary they had down in California. There were Catholics and Lutherans and Anglicans. And sorry to say this, there were Baptists there. Not Bible-believing Baptists, but there was every denomination possible down there. And they went through, and some of the things that were said there were absolutely blasphemous. Well, we believe that Jesus' body was eaten by dogs. They denied his resurrection. They denied, you know, any idea that he actually rose from the dead. And this is a huge one, this resurrection. Because if Christ is not risen, then what? Our faith is in vain. It's empty. If we don't have a risen Savior, we don't have a Savior. Amen? We can't be saved. And so, you know, even... You know, our little Baptist easy believism prayer, you know, Romans chapter 10 and verse 4, call upon whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. But let's read the rest of it. If thou believe with all thine heart that God is what? Raised him from the dead. And there are certain things that we need to believe concerning the doctrine of the resurrection. We can't just say, well, no, I don't believe he rose from the dead, but I just want salvation anyway. You can't have both. So, again, our thinking needs to be right concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything else come to mind? Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that we need to think properly regarding. How about his return? Is there a lot of debate out there regarding his return? When is he returning? Can we predict dates? Is he returning bodily? There's people out there that'll tell you, that'll come to your door and tell you that, well, he's coming again, but he's not coming bodily. He's not coming in the flesh. He's going to be invisible, and we won't even know it. Well, my Bible says very different. The Bible says everyone's going to know it. Everyone's going to know Jesus is coming back. Here's another one. Was Christ sinless? Do we understand that Christ was sinless? M.R. DeHaan, and so great radio preacher, guy who probably led, thousands to Christ, and several other well-known Christian preachers have toyed with the idea that Christ may not have been sinless. Well, we have a sinless Savior, amen? The Bible is clear. The argument ends because the Bible says that He knew no sin. And He was sinless. And then when we, again, I mentioned the future, there's certainly no debate about His return. When is He coming? Is He coming in the beginning of the tribulation? Is He coming in the middle of the tribulation? Is He coming at the end of the tribulation? Is the millennium real? And what is going to happen when He comes? What's going to happen to poverty and disease and terrorism and war? And are we going to be in heaven forever? Are we coming back to earth? And all these different things. And as a person, God has given all of us the ability to think. And God has given us this book, the Bible, the Word of God, to be able to come to conclusions about what we think about Jesus Christ, about what we think about God, about what we think about the future. God has given us all these things. And the Bible says there in John chapter 8, verse 24, if we don't make the right decision for Jesus Christ, this is going to be a very detrimental decision. To think wrongly about Him can result in a person's personal doom. We've got to, again, incorporate the right use of mind and intellect. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. And the Bible says there, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge. And just want to look at that word there, knowledge. This is thinking. This is understanding. God wants all men without exception. Amen? Even the Calvinists love Charles Spurgeon, but even Charles Spurgeon said all means all. And if God didn't mean all, He would have said some. But God wants all men to be saved and come to the thinking or knowledge or understanding of the truth. God wants us to know the truth. Amen? And that's the end of it. God wants us to know the truth. Now, when we look at, again, Ephesians, let's turn over to Ephesians or turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. And I'll get somebody to read Ephesians 4 and verse 17. Okay, so again, look at this here. In the vanity of their mind, we learn that the Gentiles or the unsaved people walk in vanity, and this is the idea of emptiness. And we thought we mentioned thinking, and we were talking about it earlier before the service started, and we came to the conclusion that not all people think. And this is the idea here, the emptiness. They're airheads. That's the idea here. They're vanity of their minds. They're not thinking. They're not thinking about their personal need of Jesus Christ. Why? Is it empty? Because it is void of truth. It's void of the truth about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's void of the person of God. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 17 and verse 3. John chapter 17 and verse 3. And just have a look at that verse there. The Lord God wants men not only to know themselves and to know the world that they live in, but more importantly, to know what? According to that verse. To know God. The Bible also talks about, in Romans, God desiring us to be knowledgeable onto things that are good, to be wise. He talks about wisdom, filled with knowledge of good things, but he wants us to be ignorant of the evil. And so I had to get my hard drive replaced on my computer, and I had a 2 terabyte hard drive. That's the one that was in it that went bad. I had to put another one in, but they replaced it with one that was, I should say, only 500 gigabytes. My first computer, my first desktop computer, had 2 gigabytes, and I was able to put Windows and all these programs on it, keep all my files on it, and 2 gigabytes. And now I've only got 500 though, and I can't fit everything on that. I think Windows takes up about 100. So, or even more. So, our computers can only handle, they've only got so much memory. And it's, you know, if you will, it's the same way with our mind. We've only got so many gigabytes to fill up. And God says, listen, I want you to fill up your mind with good things. Don't put the junk in there. You know, fill it up with good things. Knowledge is not the knowledge of good things. You know, that's why I try not to. People say, well, if you don't watch the news, you won't be in the loop, you know, to know what's going on in the world. Well, sometimes I don't want to know. I always say they shouldn't call it the news. They should call it the bad news. Amen. When's the last time anything good was ever reported? It's always bad. They could probably fill all their time with good things. Amen? All kinds of good things going on in the world. But do they report on the good things? No, they report on the disasters. They report on the murders. They report on the bank robberies. They report on, you know, this, that, and that. It's bad, bad, bad news. And God wants us to fill our minds with good things and lots of good things to fill our minds up with. Again, an unsaved person is described in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 5 as someone who knew not God. They know not God. They have no knowledge of God. There's no memory. There's nothing in the hard drive. There's no knowledge of God. And they don't want to know about God in many respects as well. One of the most important reasons God has given man an intellect is so that we might understand. Let's, before I answer that question, let's look at Luke chapter 24 and verse 45. Luke chapter 24. In verse 45. And the Bible says there, and we could also look at, we got Luke chapter 24 and 45. We could look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 30 about the same thing, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15 as well. But the Bible says there, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. One of the most important reasons God has given us an intellect is so that we can understand the Bible. Amen? Understand the Word of God. And you know that, when we think about our hard drive and we think about the knowledge that we have, how much of the Bible do we have stored up here? How many verses can you memorize? How many verses could you recite? How many verses could you bring to mind in a situation in life where God, you know, or where maybe you found yourself in a situation and you know you need a verse to give you some reassurance and some strength in any given situation? How much? You know what the psalmist said? He said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." So the psalmist knew that if he wanted to build a defense against sin and against the world and against the flesh and against the devil, he was going to have to put the word of God in his mind so that he could have that strength and that defense that he needed. Our thinking should always be on God. Our thinking should always be towards God. Turn in your Bibles and we'll close with this, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I think I wrote down the wrong reference. The verse I was looking for was, "Let this mind be in you," which was also, I had the wrong chapter. I was looking in chapter 1. I did have the right one. Philippians 2 and verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So, God says our thinking, our mind, our thoughts should be the same as the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said this, let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. And I'll say that again. Let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. And let's allow our intellect, when we think about that, our intellect drives our will. It's our knowledge that is going to determine who we vote for on the 21st. It's our knowledge of Scripture that's going to help us determine who we should vote for on the 21st. It's our knowledge that's going to make decisions as we drive our will, as we make decisions each and every day. But also, and most importantly, what decision you're going to make for Christ. And again, I'm assuming we've all made a decision for Christ here this morning, and that was the greatest decision you ever made. But let's make sure that we're filling our minds with the Word of God and that God is glorified in all that we think. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us not only a will, but you've given us an intellect, a reasoning process, a learning process, an understanding process. We can think. We can make decisions. Lord, we're just grateful that you've given us the Word of God that can shape our thinking to be the right thinking. And may the Word of God permeate our hearts and our minds, that each and every day we would make decisions based on the knowledge of the Word of God. We'll thank you, we'll praise you for this time together. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.